A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call him while he is near. Let the scoundrel forsake his way and the wicked his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord for mercy, to our God, who is generous and forgiving. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are my ways above your ways, and my thoughts above your thoughts. The word of the Lord.
I will praise your name, my King.
St. Paul to the Philippians. Brothers and sisters, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, life is Christ, and death is gain. If I go on living in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. And I do not know which I shall choose. I am caught between the two. I long to depart this life and be with Christ, for that is far better. Yet that I remain in the flesh is more necessary for your benefit. Only conduct yourselves in a way worthy of the gospel of Christ. The word of the Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
My brothers and sisters, may our Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus told his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out at dawn to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with them for the usual daily wage, he sent them out into his vineyard. Going out about 9 o'clock, the landowner saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You too go into my vineyard, and I will give you what is just." So they went off. And he went out again around noon, and again around 3 o'clock, and he did likewise. Then going out about 5 o'clock, the landowner found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why have you stood here idle all day?" They answered, "Because no one hired us." And he said to them, "You go into my vineyard also." When it was evening, the owner of the vineyard said to the foreman, "Summon the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and ending with the first." When those who had started at about 5 o'clock came, each received the usual daily wage. So when the first came, they said that they thought they would receive more, but each of them also got the usual daily wage. And on receiving it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last ones worked only an hour, and you have made them equal to us who bore the day's burden and the heat." And he said to one in reply, "My friend, I'm not cheating you. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what is yours and go. What if I wish to give this last one the same as you? Or am I not free to do as I wish with my own money? Are you envious because I am generous?" Thus the last will be first, and the first will be last. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning. And how are you? You don't sound it. We are very blessed. The God of the universe who feeds us with his precious body and blood today, there's nothing more important that's going to happen to you today or this week. Jesus Christ will feed us with his own precious body and blood. Jesus Christ died on the cross for us that we can live forever. So we are blessed. Of course we are. Often we forget. And so we listen to the second reading today, and when we listen to the second reading, Paul was talking about death, and he was hoping that he would be dead. Huh? He says that's the far better one. Now, for all of us, it's like, I think he's nuts. It's like when we sit there, and I was a young seminarian, and I first met my spiritual director at the time, Monsignor Peterson, who was just Father Peterson in that day, and we always just called him Pete. And I guess he was in his 50s when I first met him. And he had started the Sarah Club in the Diocese of Erie. Now, the Sarah Club, of course, prays for vocations. And he's the one that got it started in the beginning. So it was the 25th anniversary of the Sarah Club. And we, all the seminarians, had to be there. And this priest, who I had not known, got up. And as he got up, he was preaching. But what hit me is he said, "You know, I remember when we started this Sarah Club. And there were so many of us there. And so many have already gone to the other side, to heaven." Then he stopped and he says, "How I wish I was with them instead of here." And I'm thinking, you're nuts, right? Because I didn't know Jesus then. I know him now, and I know that he was far from nuts, that it's much better to be on the other side than to be here. But the reality for someone, the first time I ever heard someone had thought that they'd rather be in heaven than on earth, they had the insight of the reality of what it is to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Huh? Again, told the story many times about the Carmelites when the Carmelites used to still be here. And I was always very close to the Carmelites, and they used to have the extern, Sister Christine. And Sister Christine was a lovely, lovely woman. When I was a seminarian, I would talk to her all the time. And so one day, she goes to the doctor, and she's not feeling well. And the doctor sat there and says, "Oh, sister, I'm very sorry. You have very advanced cancer. You're not going to make it more than a couple months." And sister started to smile. And he said, "Sister, I don't think you understand. You're going to die." And she says, "Oh, doctor, I don't think you understand. Either way, I win. If I die, I'm with Jesus. If I live, I'm with Jesus. Either way, I'm with Jesus." And see, this is the whole reality of what this second reading is about. It's about being with Jesus. So you got to examine your life right now. That if you were told that you were going to die in an hour or two or three, or you had a couple weeks, you had terminal cancer, what would you say? What would you think? And if the reality is that you'd be a little bit crazy about that, I get it. We all are more comfortable what we know than what we don't know. The eternity of life, I mean, the forever, since we don't know what it's like to go through the process of dying or everything else, it's kind of a scary thing for us. But you do realize everyone has done it, correct? Nobody has not died, even Jesus Christ himself. Now you can say, not Elijah, but one of the prophets, Enoch, did he die, didn't he die? People go back and forth with the Blessed Mother, but John Paul II said she died, just so everybody knows. So this is something common to all of us. And if we're clinging to this earth, we will always live in fear. But if we're clinging to Jesus, then the fear will be less. We'll still be afraid of the unknown. But the point of it is that these people, whether it was Father Peterson, whether it was Sister Christine, whether it is St. Paul, they knew Jesus. And so for us, what does that mean for us? That our going to Mass got to be so much more than just going there to make sure that I don't go to hell one day. It got to be the reason I go to Mass and I'd never miss Mass is because there is where I encounter physically Jesus Christ. It's here at Mass that you and I become one with Jesus Christ. It's here at Mass that you and I get to have the God of the universe live inside of me. And so the reality is it can never be something just commonplace. It got to be the reality that Jesus and I are always one. That, and if I spend time with him every day and if I give up my life to him and to others every day, that when the time comes when I give up my life the last time and I take my last breath, it's no big deal. I've been doing it every day. This is what I have prepared for. We were created for heaven. So again, I want you to really reflect on your life this week, and I will mine. Are you okay, and do you desire to be with Jesus? And don't just sit there and think, "Well, yeah, I'll be okay with that when I'm 95. You got to be okay now, right? And again, as I've talked about at many funerals, we're in the womb of God. We can feel God. We can experience God. We know that God is there, but we can't see God until we're born to eternal life. Doesn't make God a woman. It's an analogy. Everything we have comes from God, but we're still waiting to be born. And this world isn't home. We're just passing through. So don't cling to this home. But you will cling to this earth if you do not pray. And you will cling to this earth if when you pray, you just say prayers. You will not cling to this earth is when you pray every day and you cling to Jesus. You must cling to Jesus. You must listen to Jesus. You must let Jesus embrace you and hold you and love you like we do at the end of every one of our after communion. Be sit back. Let Jesus hold you. Let him put his arms around you. Put your head on his chest. I just don't do that because, you know, some of you I know make fun of me that I add these things. I know, I've heard, because when you're talking about me, or you'll go into my other thing about when I say, you know, if you're not Catholic, you cannot receive communion, please come down and get a blessing, da, da, da. I hear these things. But the reality is I don't do it just because I have nothing else to do. I do it to help you to prepare to meet your master, to help us all to know that it's okay That there is never a moment in our life where Jesus isn't holding us, Jesus isn't loving us. Jesus, it'll never let us go. So that when you and I do take our last breath, we know who's holding us. That's why it's so important when we come to Mass. That's why it's so important when we pray. It's why it's so important that you and I listen and let Jesus love us so that we don't live in fear. We live in love. May we know his love today and forever. Amen. Let us stay.